Tonight on The Last Christian, a biblical investigation into the real nature of Halloween, its origins, its spiritual meaning, and how Christians should respond. The uncensored, unfiltered truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxton here, all the way from New York City. How are things going up there, David?
Oh, we'll have to see. They started the early voting.
Oh.
We'll see if I'll be from New York City for any length of time. I'm certainly not going to be paying 52% in taxes and just for white neighborhoods.
I mean, what in the world? I don't get it. I don't understand how this guy has any popularity at all. I mean, he's basically
He's put in like Obama was forced in, Biden was forced in. No one wanted him. They put the money and they got him in there. And he's part of the Muslim Brotherhood. There's that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, then there, you want to talk about, you know, conspiracy stuff. And, you know, we always support Israel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we say they're apostate. And there's good reason to believe that, because there's the one of the prevailing talking points, if you would, is that the Zionist ones are they're actually using the Muslims to clean up the world of all the, you know, they're using it like a broom.
Yeah.
And it's all the stuff in the Talmud tells them how to use everybody to, mm-hmm. you know, get rid of the rest of the world and do their dirty work. So they don't have to, and then they're going to take them out and be like the Jewish masters of the universe. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Jesus isn't going to let that happen.
No.
Yeah, they will repent at one point, but here we are.
We're
not going to play like, you know, one side's a super wonderful or super horrible.
Right.
It's just here we are. The world is in sin. Nobody does anything right. Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So we just have to deal with that until he comes back and keep praying for people, just like you would your brother or sister.
Yeah, amen. Well, speaking of prayer, why don't you go ahead and pray us into this episode, and then we'll show everybody what it's all about.
Well, fine then. All right. So thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you are sending Jesus the King back to rule and reign in righteousness on this earth. We thank you that this program and everything you would have us to do would go and be planted in good soil and reach those who you would have it reach. And we just give you all the praise every day and looking forward to your return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And we do hope that this reaches the individuals out there that really need it the most. We all need this. We all need it. But the ones of you out there that haven't accepted Jesus yet, you really need it. Trust me. Things are getting close. We're going to start off talking about the pagan past here and the modern mask. And, we're talking about Halloween, holy or hallow. Then we'll talk about the symbols of darkness and the disguise of fun, the spiritual war beneath the celebration, and then we'll finish things off today with the call to light, redeeming the night. So
all that,
Yeah. Wow. So, David, let's start it off here with the pagan past here and the modern mask of Halloween as we know it today. It didn't begin as costumes and candy. Its earliest roots trace back more than 2,000 years to the Celtic festival known as Samhain. The pagan observance marked the end of harvest and the beginning of the dark half of the year. The Celtics actually believed that on the night of October 31st, the boundary between the living and the dead grew thin, allowing spirits to roam freely. Fires were lit to ward off wandering souls, and sacrifices were made to appease unseen forces. As the Roman Empire expanded, pagan rituals merged with Roman customs, such as, ferula, a day dedicated to honoring the dead. When Christianity later spread across Europe, the Catholic Church attempted to replace these celebrations by establishing All Saints Day or All Hallows Day on November the 1st. The evening before, called All Hallows Eve, became what we now call Halloween. Yet instead of eliminating the darkness, the compromise merely dressed it up in religious clothing. Now, from a biblical perspective, perspective, this blending was never approved by God. If you look at Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 11, or 10 through 12, this clearly forbids divination, witchcraft, and communication with the dead, and all practices that form the very foundation of Halloween. In trying to Christianize paganism, the church of old opened the door for demonic symbolism to survive under a new name. What was once a night of sacrifices and superstitions is now a night of candy and costumes. But the spiritual roots have not changed. The question that remains is a little bit uncomfortable, but one each of us must decide for ourselves. Are modern Christians simply continuing an ancient rebellion in a more acceptable form? So let's just start with that question, David. Is that what Christians are doing if they continue to do this stuff?
Well, it depends on your definition of Christian.
Okay, true.
Now, for my definition of Christian, you're going to stay far away from any of that crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not of the Lord. And you get a lot of pushback for that.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and particularly from family.
Oh, it's just for the kids. It's get candy.
Is that David, I'll be honest with you. I get that even from my wife. You know, when the grandchildren were much younger, mm-hmm. We're just going to get some candy. It's all fun. You know, they're doing the stuff downtown. They've got the church across the street has party stuff going on. And, it's just for kids. You know, it's a funny thing. It's fun. And I told you before we started doing the show that it never really hit me that there was anything wrong with Halloween until probably 2010, 2015, mm-hmm. maybe something like that, when some preacher brought it up. And I was like, never thought about that before.
Well, think about it. You know, it's like, isn't that what Satan would want you to believe? Don't worry about it. Just a little bit of poison. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. It's not going to hurt you. Look at all the sugar that I have in this thing, and mm-hmm. it's only got a drop of poison in it. Don't worry about it. All right? As long as it tastes mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. And you got to ask yourself, am I a child of the King or not?
Right.
Am I redeemed of the Lord or not? Is this my body or is it his temple? And what would he have me to do? Not what do I think. It's mm-hmm. irrelevant what you think. Okay, yeah. You think like an idiot, all right, just like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if your thinking had gotten you into this mess of sin to begin with, so we need to renew our minds and do things according to his word. And that's the bottom line. Anyone who says otherwise is you're just not thinking. Mm-hmm. And then you know you're going to go before the Lord one day and he's like, but didn't I do this? And do all this nice stuff and cast mm-hmm. out demons and preach your word and all that. And he's like, yeah, but did you do what I asked you to do?
Right.
Because why do you mm-hmm. call me Lord? And you don't do what I tell you.
Right.
It's like, I told you not to do this. It's as mm-hmm. simple as that. It's like, you come home and your father says, listen, I don't want you to go out drinking at night. You're going to come home pregnant. And you come home pregnant and it's like, well, I was just having a little fun. He's like, well, mm-hmm. Am I really your father? Do you really love me? Because I told you not to do that because this would happen. And that's it. I know it's rough and it's hard, but you know what? Hell is harder.
Yeah.
So who's going to tell you the truth? And that's really where you have to go. If you are truly born again, your life does not belong to you.
Right.
Okay,
that is correct.
It's as simple as mm-hmm. that.
Yep.
If you're going to choose to do this, then you're saying, no, my life still belongs to me. I can be my own God of my own life, just like the original lie. Oh, yeah, that looks good. I can be mm-hmm. like God. Yeah. Okay, well, how did that end up?
Well, don't you think it's a lot to do with peer pressure? I mean, that's kind of a way that it was here with the grandkids. I know that. You know, everybody else. You've heard this. Everybody else.
The whole, all the schools doing it, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Great. that's actually the time to be more sold out, because then you could be a brighter light, because there is so much darkness. Amen. Now the entire school is doing it, and you're not, and refuse to let your kids be involved. And now all of a sudden people say, well, why aren't you wearing a costume? Oh, let me tell you why. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you bring this on, and it's harsh, because it really was hard. It was hard for my kids. Growing up, we didn't celebrate any of it. And I didn't tell them there was a Santa Claus, nothing, because that's all pagan lies, really.
But it's just for the kids.
Oh, so you want to send your kids to hell because it's cute? No.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
I'd never thought about it and put it in that kind of a context before for many, many, many decades, you know? But once it's presented to you, then you have a decision to make. And that's
the cold, hard truth. You heard it now, folks. You could send your kids to hell and just because it's cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to do that?
So you were talking about Samhain. It's a Samhain, as they pronounce, but it's really it's like Samhain, but the Celtic way is Samhain.
Samhain, okay.
The
way that the thing showed it to me, it was a Samhain.
Samhain, but if you were to pronounce all the letters, it's Samhain.
Okay.
Celtic dialect, it's Samhain.
Okay. That makes a heck of a lot more sense, but, you know, I just went with it because I didn't know.
Well, here's the deal. There's so many things tied to it. You know, the jack-o'-lantern was one of the rituals they did with it is they would steal the virgins from your house to, sacrifice them, and then they'd leave this glowing, nasty face inside of a pumpkin on your porch. So, if you're putting jack-o'-lanterns out, what you're saying is I approve of, young virgin girl sacrifice.
Yeah, well, I've actually got the next area we're going to get into, the next segment, it's got the jack-o'-lantern in it, but it's got a whole completely different thing than what you just said.
There's a few different things where it came from.
Yeah, there's a lot more. As a matter of fact, why don't we just go ahead and show it to everybody, and then we can talk about it. The symbols of darkness here under the disguise of fun. When people think of Halloween today, they see smiling pumpkins, kids in superhero costumes, and the excitement of trick-or-treating. But behind every one of these customs lies a story steeped in darkness. The jack-o'-lantern, for example, originated from old European tales of a man named Stingy Jack, condemned to wander the earth with only a carved turnip lantern to light his way, this signifying a symbol of a lost soul. When the Irish immigrants came to America, they used pumpkins instead of turnips, but the meaning remained, a restless spirit trapped between worlds. Costumes were not about fun originally. They were worn to trick spirits into believing one was one of them. Masks, animal skins, and grotesque disguises were meant to hide people from the dead they feared. Trick-or-treating developed from an old superstition that evil spirits or beggars, sometimes representing the dead, would visit homes. These spirits would demand offerings in exchange for peace. People left food or coins to protect their household from curses. Even the common imagery of ghosts, skeleton witches, and black cats carried direct connections to occultism and death rituals. And so while society now calls it harmless fun, Scripture paints a different picture. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Yet many Christian families set aside that command one night a year to decorate their homes with tombstones and cobwebs, unintentionally glorifying what Christ died to conquer. Halloween has normalized fear, death, and witchcraft to such an extent that even believers laugh at what once made them shudder. It is a deception hidden behind candy wrappers and cartoon ghosts, but it remains a normalization of the forbidden. So there was your jack-o'-lanterns thing, and I want you to go back to that again, because you had a completely different different view of it.
Well, have the origins of things, and then what happens is they use it for different purposes along the way. So that's what they would do. And it, so if you think about it, it's the idea of a lost soul. So they're stealing this virgin, they're sacrificing her, and it's the lost soul of Slippy Jack. What was his name?
Yeah, Slippery Jack. I think that was his name, yeah.
Slimy Jack.
Yeah, Stingy Jack. I just looked it Stingy, back up. It's Stingy okay. Jack.
Mm-hmm. And so, and just over time, it just, they get new traditions. Like, you know, today, you know, Germans put a pickle on a Christmas tree. And it's like, where did that come from? And but we don't do Krampus over here. Krampus is more in Europe. So the different, they change along the way. Halloween is just pure evil. And I would say anything along the way that man starts to corrupt and put their own thing in is corrupted and sinful. Yeah. I mean, even the Jewish holidays, the, you know, well, why is there an egg in the Passover feast? It's because it harkens back to Babylon and the Easter egg thing when they were in there, too. It shouldn't be in the Passover. There's no egg in there. Get the egg out. But and then, you know, and then Hanukkah with the eight candles. So that was, that story was kind of messed up a little bit, too. So even, all of them are messed up. And that's because people are just plain evil. Speaking of origins, there is good writings. The Dead Sea Scrolls has some writings on how the origins from, so the pagans and the Celtic stuff, the Druids, their rituals go even further back. So that's why we, okay, the Druids made this, but why did they make it? Okay. It goes back to right after the flood, they had this, the Day of the Dead. And it was somewhere right around the October 31st. Now, our calendar jumps around a little bit here and there, but they had their one day, which is the same, like, you know, the Hebrew feasts are on the same day every year, where ours, you know, our calendar moves around a little bit. But it was the Day of the Dead. They were remembering all the people that died in the flood.
Yeah. Isn't that something, isn't there something to do with the Catholic Church? With this Day of the Dead thing?
Yep. So they brought that. Matter of fact, you see that still in Mexico today because of the Catholic Church.
That's
they
what
celebrate
I was thinking.
The Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
And it was to, they say it's to honor, you know, your dead ancestors. But they really did it because they missed the all the Nephilim and those gods and all. And they were, oh, there's, we're still going to worship them, you know. And so the Day of the Dead came, and it was right around this time of year.
Okay.
And then it just morphed into the Druids later on. They did it.
Okay.
You know, and then the wassailing. Who doesn't love wassailing?
What the heck is wassailing? I've never heard of that.
They would go around and make apple cider. Oh. Here we come, a caroling among the leaves so green. Oh, here we come, a wassailing so fair to be seen.
Okay.
And it was like an apple cider they made. But it was
now,
the
how
same
about this? How about this All Saints Day? The thing.
Yeah, they tried to Christianize it.
November
so instead of just celebrating Christ holidays, they kind of they got to follow the devil around and try and, you know, mimic his holidays. It's like, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Just celebrate what the Lord gave us, you know.
Yeah. Well,
instead of trying to copy what they're doing, that's you being the tail. You're just being dragged around, and God said we are the head and not the tail. We make the rules because we're in Christ. He said, I give you authority over all these things. So we need, you know, to celebrate what God has to celebrate and pay no attention to the devil. And don't try and have trunk or treat or, you know, mask all this nonsense, because now you're just being the tail. You're just following the devil around saying, oh, I'll just make it nice. No, forget that crap. Go and do something and take over instead of following them around.
Well, so basically what you're saying is modern Christians should not continue this ancient rebellion.
100%.
If you do,
I seriously doubt your salvation. Honestly. You know, and that's just, it's a cold, hard truth. If you don't like it, there are other radio stations you can listen to.
Wow.
So this one is going to tell you the truth.
Yes, we are going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. That, you know, like I said, I'd never even considered it before several years ago. And then I had to fight my wife, you know, simply because she didn't want the grandkids get left out of what everybody else is doing. Again, it's that, you know, everybody else thing, you know.
Yep. But, yeah, we were there years ago, too. You know, when I was a kid, it was the same thing.
I remember I went trick-or-treating when I was little, you know, but I did it, like, I think twice. And the reason that I didn't do it any more than that is because I just didn't like it. You know, really? I didn't like getting dressed up like an idiot. I didn't, you know, back then they didn't have all these fancy masks and all this kind of stuff. They had this plastic thing that went on your head and you couldn't breathe good. I didn't like any of this crap, you know. And then there was people that was giving me candy apples and stuff I could care less about. So
we would go back to the houses. There was one guy in our neighborhood and his job was making road signs. Mm. So we'd have all these, you know, cardboard road signs. We go and get a one way or, you know, or no U-turn, all these different road signs. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we go to the next house, switch our costumes up a little bit and go back and keep getting new signs. And then I remember there was a couple times we went out the day after with some friends of mine. We're like, trick or treat. And I was like, that was yesterday. Yeah, but my mom wouldn't let me go out, so we're going out tonight. Well, let me see if I got something for you. Okay.
See if we got any candy left that we didn't eat.
Yeah, already. See if I got anything left. They felt bad for me, but that was pre-salvation day.
Right? Yeah.
Because I just wanted more candy and more signs.
I mean, you know, once I found out what, you know, that this was truly an evil evening or an evening day, whatever, you know, that changed my whole perspective of it. And I'm hoping that that's the way that people out there will view this presentation tonight, because, you know, we're not trying to say you're an evil person. You just haven't heard this before. You've never heard it. Your pastor hasn't preached on it. If you go to church, your neighbor hasn't told you about it. Your family hasn't told you about it. So, you know, sorry we had to break the bad news to you, but this evil day is truly evil. You know, there's no way around it. It's really, really evil. And David, at this point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you talk about shadows a little bit, because this, David's a part of another show called Shadows of a Greater Reality, and it deals with the occult. But it's straightforward in it from a Christian perspective. And David, you're the better person to talk about it than me. So I'm going to just put the slide up here and let you go.
Shadows of a Greater Reality. Yeah, you got to watch it. It's actually pretty fun. We're up to episode 14 now, I think. So they'll be coming out soon. This week, if you're listening, we have a Pastor Neil Peterson from Harvest Revival Center in Ohio, and he's, you know, he's gotten a lot of grief because he wouldn't participate in the town's Halloween show, you know, in the parade and whatnot, and called out the mayor and the coordinator who went to another local church. And so they ostracized him from the town for a while. And he's like, listen, I got rewards in heaven. I don't need your kudos here in the town, but thank you very much. And that's really how you have to look at it. So we talked about that a lot on the show. You have to look at it like this. Would you rather I slap you in the head right now into coherence, or would you rather be in hell for all eternity?
Yeah.
Because that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. If you're doing this, God's going to say, he's literally going to say to you one day, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. You call me Lord, but you're doing this. He says, I never knew you.
Yeah.
Those are scary words.
Yes. They're terrifying.
Do you love the Lord or not?
That's terrifying words is what they are.
Yeah. And it's not like we're just making it up either. Deuteronomy, we just already read Deuteronomy 18. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do not imitate the detestable ways of the nations. Don't do that. Leviticus 19:31 says, avoid mediums and familiar spirits. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the high holy days of the Church of Satan. It's like, why in the world would you even consider it? Yeah. You know, it says avoid them. Okay. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's none. That doesn't mean, well, if you dress up like a princess, it's okay, as long as you do it in the trunk, trunk or treat. No, it doesn't say that. Has no fellowship with them. Don't do anything they do. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 6:14 is in complete separation from darkness. How else are you going to win the world if you're doing the same thing the world's doing? Mm-hmm. Think about, you're just like the rest of us, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, mm-hmm. You're not shining your light. Galatians 5:19 says the works of the flesh include witchcraft. And, you know, don't give me all that crap. Halloween is about witchcraft. Hello. Mm-hmm. Wake up, people. What's the first thing you think of when you think of Halloween? Mm-hmm. It's a witch's hat.
Witches.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and then he got 1 Corinthians 10:20 says pagan sacrifices offered to demons. So now all this stuff is you're literally sacrificing and making offerings to demons.
Let me ask you this, David. What do you think of these churches that have the, what's it called? Trunk or treat, right?
Yeah, the trunk or treat, and any of that stuff. We're doing a Halloween party at the church so they don't have to go out trick or treating. Well, yeah, you're still celebrating.
I've got a church that is very near my house. I've told you about it before. Mm-hmm. Very near my house that has this. And as a matter of fact, we attended it maybe 3-4 years ago, simply because there wasn't any costumes involved. It was like a sort of like an amusement park or like a fair deal, you know, where you could go mm-hmm. and win prizes and all this kind of thing, food to eat.
I mean, if it has nothing to do with Halloween, there's nothing wrong with doing something on that day so the kids have something to do. I can see that. But so many of them, you know, they come in there and they're still wearing their jack-o'-lanterns and they're still doing all that stuff. They're just doing it in the church building instead of that. Now, granted, there are churches who will do something completely different, like Harvest Revival Center and Neil. They'll do something completely different just to, so they have something to do so they don't have to do that. But it's godly and it's uplifting and it has nothing to do with the works of darkness.
Nothing to do with Halloween. Yeah, okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I only went to that thing one time. And I really don't remember too much about it. I mean, we had, you know, the kids won a lot of prizes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we had, there was a good meal inside and good, what I consider pretty good Christian fellowship. But, you know, thinking about it now, probably not a good idea. You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm all for, you know, it's just another random day and I don't even want to do anything, but I am okay. You know, if you're going to do something completely different because the kids are going to whine about it and you want to pull their attention to the Lord instead of to that. Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, maybe that's what they were trying to do. You know,
possibly.
It wasn't something that we were really given a lot of information on. It was just the fact that Midway. That was the word I was trying to think of. Like if you go to a state fair, you've got the Midway, you know, where you got all these games and all that kind of stuff. And all that stuff was set up. And I think one of the kids found out about it or something. And we ran over there, you know, just because. Okay. But, you know, I really don't remember all that much about it. But again, hindsight being 20/20.
Well, you'll find out this week.
Yeah, probably what. Yeah, and I don't even know if they still do it or not. But the thing is, I know that we haven't done it, you know, and have no intention of doing it again. Just not, especially now. I mean, I'm much more educated on this topic now than I was.
Well, that's what Satan comes in clandestine. You know, he tries to sneak it in.
Well, we still got a lot to talk about here in the second half of the show. We'll tell you a little bit more about why you ought to stay away from this practice, and then what you should do as a Christian that may help someone else find the Lord. And that's a very, very important thing. That's something that each of us are supposed to do as ambassadors for Christ. So you guys hang in there with us, and we'll be back after a very short break.
If you're tired of being treated like you're too stupid to think for yourself with all the politically motivated and biased reporting from the left and right, then it's time to tune in to the KRRB Revelation Radio News Network, where truth has a voice. Here, the news comes from a truthful Christian perspective, no political agenda or bias. Just simple, honest reporting grounded in fact and biblical truth. Every day, we bring you the East Texas news, followed by news from around the world from a Christian viewpoint in just 30 minutes. This is your chance to stay informed, stay faithful, and receive the news anchored in truth. Join us every weekday at 11:30 a.m. Central in East Texas on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 a.m. or anytime on revelationradio.net. Trait news from KRRB Revelation Radio News Network. Your home for unfiltered and censored truth.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton there in New York City. Dave, we'll get right back to it. And what we're going to talk about now is the spiritual war beneath the celebration. So let's shift from history to the spirituality to the spiritual reality of what happens when darkness is celebrated. Halloween today is not just a cultural phenomenon. It's honestly one of the most profitable and spiritually charged nights of the year. Behind the smiling mask lies a night many occult practitioners see as sacred, a time for ritual magic, divination, and communication with spirits. Former witches and Satanists have testified that Halloween is considered a high holy day within occult circles, often marked by offerings, spells, and even human and animal sacrifice. Now, the Bible warns us in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15 that Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He rarely appears as a horned monster. Instead, he disguises himself into what seems harmless, entertaining, or trendy. Halloween provides the perfect cover for this deception. What better way for the enemy to desensitize a generation to spiritual darkness than to make it fun? So, spiritually speaking, the spirit behind Halloween is little more than rebellion, or humanity seeking power, knowledge, and unity apart from God. Modern society has built festivals that mock the holy and invite the profane, all while insisting it's just culture. In Revelation 17 and 18, Mystery Babylon is condemned for its sorceries. The Greek, pharmakeia, meaning spiritual deception through manipulation, a seducing spirit working to unite people in an effort to defy God, is at work in global culture today, enticing the world to embrace what God calls evil. So Halloween, whether recognized or not, plays directly into that deception. The issue is not that Christians should fear the day, but that we should work to understand the spirit operating behind it. What does it say about our culture when we laugh at death, dress as demons, and teach children that evil is exciting? What door might be opening to the enemy when we join in the celebration of what Christ came to destroy? So what do you got to say about that?
Well, yeah. it's kind of like me before, smacking everybody in the head. And that lays it out a little nicer. It really, you're playing with fire. You're literally playing with fire and saying, oh, you know, it'll be fine. It's just a little fun. And, you know, just a little fun is a slippery road down into hell. So we really have to be careful and have discernment. And if you're not willing to, you know, be called out and have literally everybody in your school or in your job and everybody's making fun of you because you don't do it, what a glorious place to be.
Yeah.
Because now it's Jesus in heaven saying, wow, look what he or she is enduring just to make people know that I am the Savior. And that's a beautiful thing. So for me, it's actually a privilege and an honor to not do anything.
I just want to stop you for a second. I think that is a great way to approach it. You know, a lot of people, me included, at one time would have said, you know, okay, you know, kind of go along to get along. And, you know, I don't want this, you know, I don't want the neighbors to think of me in this way or another. Completely wrong approach. You know, just you need to set yourself apart. Christ asked us to set ourselves apart, and what you said there was perfect. I mean, I wish I'd have done it at the time. I really do.
Well, we live and we learn, we grow, and now that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we consider it an honor to be able to represent Him. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. All of the apostles, you know, except for John, who lived long so he can write Revelation, and then rumor has it he was boiled in oil. And he's like, he's not ready to go yet. So, but all of them were killed simply because they said Jesus loves you in so many words, you know? So what are we doing today if we're scared of people laughing at us?
Right.
When they're willing to stand before the entire neighborhood and be, you know, crucified upside down or set on fire or stoned to death. You know what? Are you serious? Are you really serious?
All we have got to suffer is a little bit of ridicule, you know, a little bit of pointing, you know, and laughter or whatever. That's all. I mean, what you were talking about there with the disciples, Jesus told them, you know, you're all gonna have a bad death. I mean, he basically laid it out, right? And they did it willingly and lovingly, and you know, knew that,
and we're happy.
Yeah,
you know, and what Paul said, he's like, wow, what a great honor to be persecuted for Christ. Here is, you know, stoned and left for dead three times, shipwrecked, bit by a snake, you know. And he's like, this is great. You know, and you guys are worried about someone laughing at you because you don't dress like a witch.
Yeah.
Come on. Wake up, people.
I mean, like I said, I wish I'd approached it differently many, many years ago, you know, and hopefully you guys that are out there and you're teetering, you're not really sure which way to go. Hopefully that made some impact there, because what David said is, you know, is spot on. Now, David, how about these occult folks here that they're testifying that the day is marked with offering spells and even human and animal sacrifice. Is that still going on in the United States right now?
Yeah, it's actually going on more now as the world goes on. People don't realize this. Slavery is bigger now than it's ever been in history as well.
Human trafficking.
It's human trafficking, just slaves themselves, regular ones, all sorts of different things. Because Bible says it's just that the world is going to wax worse and worse until it comes to a point where he just can't tolerate it anymore. Mm-hmm. It has pushed it to the limit, and then he'll, you know, come and return. And that's what we're coming up to. So all of these things are coming up. But just like we've been talking about the whole show, it doesn't come out like in your face. It comes out as, it's nothing.
Fun and games.
Yeah, it's all fun. It's it's just cutesy. Look, they get candy. It's something for the kids to do together. It's coming out as, hey, it's normalizing it. And that's done on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, because here we are at the end of the age, and Satan would love to have everything normalized. This way, he could do what he does with all his evil and get all his power, and you don't even know you're giving it to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll jump in here with a story real quick about when I was much younger. There was a place, we called it the Twilight Zone. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what it was all about is you drove by a cemetery, real old cemetery, and you went over a real old bridge, and the bridge, as you were going across it, said, you know, do not enter, wrong way, something like that. I don't remember. But anyway, it was one lane, and you drive through, and it had these trees that came across, and they covered you. The whole, you know, they came together at the top. We did this at night. Now, this wasn't in the daytime. This was at night, so, you know, it's really a spooky type of deal. Mm-hmm. And then you come up to this rock, big rock formation here, and, you know, there was all kinds of satanic writing on this thing, and you get out of the car and you go up, and you could hear music playing. and it wasn't pleasant. You know, and there were signs of things that had happened there, you know, like burned areas and things. And it was pretty obvious that it was satanic. You know, the mm-hmm. whole thing was satanic. You come back down, you get in the car again, and you drive along a little further, and there's a house over here on the side of the road, and it's all by itself. There's no cars around it anywhere. There's always one light on, but other than that, it's completely dead. You know, you didn't want to even get near it. And you continue to drive along, and you finally come out on another part of the Metroplex area, and you would have had to have gone over at least two freeways to get to this location, but you never saw mm-hmm. them. You never saw those freeways at all.
Hmm.
It was the weirdest thing. That's the reason we called it a Twilight Zone. Okay? So the way I look at it is that we should have never been playing with that, because we were playing with mm-hmm. evil. We were playing with fire. And I think that that is what people do when they're getting into this Halloween thing. I think they're playing with fire. They're playing with evil, and they don't even know it. It's just fun. I mean, it was fun for us to go out and do this stuff and take people there and freak them out and all that kind of thing. And I think that's what, you know, I mean, I've got neighbors, and they're very near me, who go all out. You talk about decoration. And I'm not, you know, not just Halloween, every holiday. But, I mean, they go all out, probably thousands of dollars worth of stuff that they put up, right? And I'm sure they never thought about it. You know, I've just got a mm-hmm. feeling that they've never really thought about it. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make in all of this is that people just simply haven't ever thought about it, David. And, you know, and I want to make that point over and over again to where people will think about it, because you're playing with your eternity.
Now is the time. Better yeah. think about it. He's coming back soon, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So we stuff. Have.
Go ahead.
We have different feast days that the Lord calls us to, you know, like Sukkot, where mm-hmm. God is dwelling among his people. Mm-hmm. You know, Feast of Trumpets foreshadows the return of Christ and the resurrection. You got the Day of Atonement, cleansing from sin, deliverance from Satan's power. And it just befuddles me why you would think about the holidays that God wants us to celebrate and then go and do the exact opposite,
yeah.
yet still call yourself a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went to, you know, even went to Sight and Sound Theater, and they were playing Noah, you know, and here's the story of Noah and his redemption because the whole world was evil. Mm-hmm. And then there's these ladies walking in with trick-or-treat shirts. And it's like, what are you doing? I don't get it. It befuddled me. So all I can do is pray. That's twice I used right. befuddle in one show.
There you go. Yeah. Well, speak a little bit about this. What did you call it again? Pharmakia?
Pharmakia.
Yeah. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, that's used in the end of the age here, too. That's where we get our word pharmacy from, and mm-hmm. it's basically drugs. Drugs were what was used for all the witchcraft. We think, oh, drugs are good. They do this and that. No, originally there was Noah's Book of Herbs. I don't know mm-hmm. if you remember that guy.
Yeah.
But God gave us herbs, and all the remedies we need for any diseases are curable through the plants and food that he gave us. It's as simple as that. But Rockefeller wanted to make some money, so he mm-hmm. started to move this. But it was the evil spirits behind him. Mm-hmm. And they moved into drugs. Oh, we got this drug and this drug. And the whole idea behind it was not to cure you.
Mm.
It never was. It was to get you addicted to these drugs, so you have to take them for the rest of your life, which means they have a lifelong, you know, sales mm-hmm. pitch to these people. They got a lifelong customer is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make you sick, but not sick enough to die, just sick enough to
stay
sick.
Addicted
for a long time.
They give you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a thing, I can't remember which one it is on TV, but they always say, and it make me a lifetime customer, you know, and okay, well, I don't want to be a lifetime customer, you know.
Not a pharmacia.
It's a sleep thing. Even Mike Huckabee promotes it a lot on TV. I can't remember what the name of it is, but anyway, you know,
is it a drug or is it a it's like a natural thing,
like a sleep aid? And I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember what. I mean, it's not something that you've got to get a prescription for. It's just something that you have to take out a loan to buy. You know, it's really expensive stuff.
God made magnesium, and that'll put you to sleep real fast. So just take some magnesium.
All right. Well, let's look at this, because this is the call to light or redeeming the night.
Yeah, let's be calling people.
So we've got to turn from the exposure to the response here. What should believers actually do? How can Christians live in this world without being shaped by its darkness? The answer is not isolation, but transformation. Instead of participating in Halloween shadows, the church can use this day as an opportunity to shine light into the darkness. Okay, now we get a little touchy here, and we'll discuss this. Many congregations now hold Light the Night or Harvest Festivals, offering families a Christ-centered alternative that celebrates life, community, and God's blessings rather than death and fear. Parents can take this night to teach children about spiritual discernment, explaining that not everything popular is harmless and not every tradition honors God. So you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:22, which urges believers to abstain from every form of evil, and Romans 13:12 reminds us that the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Then this is also a night of evangelism. When the world knocks on your door, literally, it's an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel. Instead of handing out fear, hand out faith. Include a verse, a message of hope, or simply a word of kindness that reflects Christ's light. Let the world see the church doesn't hide from darkness, it overcomes it. In the end, the question is not whether Christians can celebrate Halloween, but whether we actually should. The celebration of death, fear, and darkness has no place in a kingdom built on life, faith, and light. As believers, we are called to be set apart, to stand as witnesses of a coming day when there will be no more night. When the world dresses up to play with darkness, the church should rise up and proclaim, Jesus is the light of the world. So, real quick, David, I want to go back here to the first part of that. I'm going to put it back up there on screen one more time here. Okay. Many congregations now hold Light the Night or Harvest Festivals, offering families a Christ-centered alternative that celebrates life, community, and God's blessing rather than death and fear. Now, we kind of talked about that, but have you heard of these names specifically, and do you agree with that particular practice?
Not Light the Night. I have heard of harvest festivals, and that's probably a good alternative. But it would obviously what you call it is, well, do when you're there? That's the whole thing.
The name is not as important as the activity, is what you're saying.
Right. Where the Jews celebrate the Feast of Purim, and they dress up as well, but it's not like. It's not like the Halloween dress up. The Halloween was the whole idea was to wear a mask because you're trying to deceive someone into thinking that you're somebody else.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Whereas Purim, you're dressing up as you're going to like a ball and a celebration. So it's a whole bunch of princesses, and all the little girls look beautiful. It's not like they're trying to hide anything. They're just dressing up and celebrating the victory from Esther. So that's a different kind of thing. So if you really like your kids to dress up and you want them to dress up as a princess, celebrate Purim. They have a great time.
But you don't want them dressing up like a ghost or a...
No. And that's, you're inviting darkness and death into their lives.
Yeah, Freddy
and
Krueger.
I can't imagine why... What in the world makes you think to do that? Let me dress them up as a witch. This way, they can have all this evil and darkness. And then and ultimately, I guess it comes down to they think it's powerful. And you have to get the point across that, just like in Africa. In Africa, you don't witness and say, oh, yeah, you're a sinner. And, you need to repent and be nice to everybody like America. This lily-livered sap sucker kind of stuff. The in Africa, it's all about who's got the most power. Mm. So when they got the witch doctor, oh, I got my friend, I want to go, let me go to witch doctor and pay him, and he could put a spell on that guy over there because I hate him. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're over there, it's, well, who's more powerful?
Okay.
And then to witness over there, you got to show them that Jesus is not only more powerful, but the most powerful, and you can't overcome him. Mm-hmm. And that's how you win people over there. That's why some of them are still kind of wacky, because it's all about that power.
Yeah.
And if you could get that across here, oh yeah, you think the witchcraft is cool, and you know, you sacrifice a cat in your yard, mm-hmm. you're going to get this power. No, Jesus is much more powerful than that. Why don't we talk to him and watch what happens when we call Jesus in this situation? Watch what happens to that witch friend or warlock friend or mm-hmm. or all that evil, that demon that comes and torments you all the time. Let's see what happens to him when Jesus comes around.
Yeah.
You know, when you use that name. And that's, I think, where we have to come from when you're dealing with these people. Because they couldn't give a crap about being nice. They're nice to everybody. Yeah, we'll be nice until we kill your cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that some of the people that are putting up all these decorations and all this stuff are inviting evil to come into their lives?
Clearly
into
opening
their homes?
The door.
I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. Is it that serious, do you think?
Yeah, it's 100%, because you're literally saying, hey, here it is, open the door. And they got their foot in the door, and they're not going to take it out. So they're going to get into your house.
Okay.
And you can make all the excuses you want, but that's the bottom line. You are opening the door to evil beings that want to kill you mm-hmm. and your children.
Yeah.
So think of it that way, you know. Oh, it's just fun. Oh, yeah, until they kill your child.
Right.
Oh, my child, we grew up doing that, and it didn't. No, well, look at some of the things that happened in your life that maybe shouldn't have happened mm-hmm. if you were following the Lord.
Yeah.
And tell me, because they don't care if it takes a year or 100 years to kill you. They just want to kill you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to them how long, as long as you're dead.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't believe in these demons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I told you I've got a grandson that is in a school which allows the Bible. He takes it as an elective in his particular school. And he was asking me a question, and he said, how many angels fell? My school is, you know, school says there's one third of the angels went with Lucifer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I said, oh, well, you know, and honestly, David, I'll be totally honest with you. I was like, a third. Wow, that's a lot. I don't know. I don't know if it was a third or not. You know, I don't know. And he said, well, the Bible says it was. I said, really? Where does it say that? And he said, it's in Revelation. Mm-hmm. I said, really? Okay. So did a third of the mm-hmm. angels fall, David? Because I never looked in Revelation to look that up. You know, I just said, if that's true, well, if the Bible says it, then it's true. That's what I said.
Well, here's the deal. Revelation 12 talks about the dragon, you know, swept his tail through, and a third of the angels, or a third of the stars fell.
Okay.
Mm. From heaven. So, number one, is it that the stars represent, you know, a third of the angels? Mm. And there's reason to believe that too. So you have it. So maybe, you know, maybe it was a third of the angels, because the stars are, you know, they're name tags for the angels. If you mm-hmm. they're not mm-hmm. the angels themselves, but they're, hey, oh, there's my name over there. And then you have a third. So is that metaphoric?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is Revelation after all. So it's true, but is that a metaphoric trueness? All right. And then you have to look, it didn't happen yet, because Revelation didn't happen yet.
Right.
So is this a story about what happened in the past and it's mm-hmm. coming forth? Because then you have the woman who gives birth to the child and then he's mm-hmm. taken away. So is that a type of Christ from the beginning? Or is John seeing the story written in the stars and he's just saying that story? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, it doesn't say anywhere else how many. But it does say there's principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And then we have, you know, the gods that are on Mount Hermon and the divine council, if you would, from Psalm 82.
Right.
So we do have a vague picture of what's going on. Now, if you go back to Enoch, it talks about the 200 that are the captains and something like that. So that's not nearly a third.
No.
Because there's myriads and myriads and 10,000 times 10,000, which is innumerable in the Greek. 10,000 was the highest number, and it meant, like, you know, infinity to us or Google.
Right.
So if it's 10,000 times 10,000 times, you know, and then again, 10, you know, it's not 200,000. It means it's innumerable times innumerable, and double it just in case you missed.
Yeah.
So was it like a third of the angels? Quite possibly. But is that what it really says? Not exactly, because it is in the future. And if you look at it, it says a third of the stars. So the word astare in the Greek is where we get our word star from, but it doesn't mean a glowing ball of gas way out in the universe. Mm-hmm. It means something strewn. It means like I threw it out there.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if it's strewn, it could be a meteor, could be an asteroid, could be just, you know, the tail of a meteor and all the junk coming through. Those in the Greek can be considered stars. Mm-hmm. Unlike in English, we think of stars as just the glowing, and then the planets are something different. Well, in the Greek, the planets would be stars too. They actually call them wandering stars. Mm-hmm. All right, they're stars, but they just wander because they don't follow the same path the rest of the stars. Why are these stars doing this? Mm-hmm. Because we just know them today, planetas. Mm-hmm. That also comes from the Greek, which means wanderer. So that's where we get the word planet, but they're wandering stars. So as far as a third falling, if they're going to be a third, I don't think they all fell yet. But then did they fall from the beginning? And this is just a story that was told from the beginning, because we do have, you know, the woman giving birth to the son.
Mm. Well, okay. So,
the answer is I don't know.
Yeah, I have to fix it to say. The answer is we don't know. So,
no, we're not 100%, but we always use, everyone uses a third of this third of that angel spell.
Okay.
Because of that
verse. You can see, though, you know, I think it's really cool that he does go to a school that allows the Bible.
That will allow it,
to be talked about and open.
They didn't allow it in my school when I was a kid, but I asked anyway.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. My dad was a school teacher for 49 years, and on top of that, he was a principal, which he didn't count into that 49 years. So, you know, he was there for over 5 decades. And I can tell you that, they took God out of the school, supposedly. They took the Bible out of the school, supposedly, but they didn't take it out of my dad's classroom. It was in the top right-hand drawer of his desk, and anybody that asked him about it, he always talked to them, and he talked to them about it openly, and he didn't care. If somebody had said, "Mr. Williams, you can't do that, we'll have to fire you if you do it," and he says, "Well, I guess you're going to have to fire me then," because he was not going to back down. And that was one thing I can say about my Lord, about my dad. I know he is with the Lord. I'll put it that way. So, you know, I wish I was the guy he was. I really do. He was just
still got time.
He was an awesome man. For the rest of you out there, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, you need to do that. And you also need to stay away from this Halloween thing, if at all possible. And it is possible to do that if you will accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior. And if you'll do that, then you don't have to worry about all this other crap that's going on. Instead, you'll be with me and David and every other Christian, living and dead, at the moment of the rapture. So until next time, good night and God bless.
Tonight we asked a simple question with eternal weight. Halloween, holy or hallow? No matter what the world celebrates, we choose the light that conquers darkness. This episode helped you think biblically. Please take a moment to visit lastchristian.net to learn more and support the mission of our ministry. Remembering that your prayers and gifts keep the biblical truth we present on the air. And we invite you to share this episode with a friend who needs clarity and courage this week, and catch past programs and resources anytime at lastchristian.net. Finally, don't forget, there's always an edition of the Last Christian Radio Show every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, on revelationradio.net. Stand firm in your faith, stay grounded in God's Word, and remember, light always overcomes the darkness. For J.D. Williams and David Paxton, thank you for listening. Until next time, good night, and God bless.